Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospel today, we hear the account of the healing of the two blind men and the mute demoniac. The two blind men follow Christ, pleading with him, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Christ does not heal them in front of the crowds, but instead brings them into a home so that he can heal them privately. And first he asks them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they say. He touches their eyes and he restores their sight. He then encounters a mute demoniac, someone who is not born that way, but is possessed by a demon so that he cannot talk. He heals him, and immediately the Pharisees see this. They object and accuse Christ. They slander Christ and accuse him of casting out demons by demons. In this account today, we see a great image of how Christ reorients and reorders our world, our life, indeed the entire cosmos. In his incarnation, in his uniting of our humanity to himself, in his passion, his death, his resurrection, in his ascension, his placing of that divine humanity at the right hand of the Father, we see a reorientation, a reordering of the cosmos that had been so disrupted after the fall. A reorientation that is rooted in his love of us, of his church, and indeed of all of creation. A love that never seeks to possess, never seeks to control, coerce, but a love that is always cruciform, is always sacrificial and self-emptying. This is one of the reasons why Christ and the church so emphasizes the ascetic life, and why when the Holy Fathers write about the ascetic life, about the discipline of self-denial, they always connect it to this love of Christ, to this cruciform love of Christ, and how he is reordering and reorienting our senses so that we may not only see and speak, but that we may see and speak differently. And we are reminded of this love every time that we fast and we pray. In fact, when the Fathers speak of this ascetic life, they tell us that it is not necessarily about self-mortification or necessarily self-denial, but a participation in this love of Christ, in this life that of how Christ is reordering and reorienting our life back to him after the tragedy of the fall. This is why the ascetic life is always so emphasized in the church and by Christ himself. We see that when we fast, we are like the two blind men today, calling out to Christ, "Have mercy on me." When we pray, we are like the mute who encounters Christ and is healed by Christ, not so that we can speak however we want, but so that Christ may speak through us. We are always reminded that this healing of Christ, the healing of our senses, of our ascetic life, and how we participate in this healing, is always rooted in Christ's cruciform love. We see this the connection of the ascetic life and the love of Christ so perfectly in St. Maria of Paris, when we commemorate tomorrow. St. Maria was born in Latvia to a pious Orthodox Christian family, and her family moved to Russia when she was just a little girl, and her family were very pious. That began to change for her when her father died unexpectedly and tragically when she was just a teenager, and she also began to suffer and have doubts, and even was caught up in the revolutionary fervor that was going on in Russia at the time in the early 20th century. She even married a Bolshevik and participated in the revolutionary movements that were sweeping across Russia. But she always, throughout that process, she would later write, she would always hear that voice of Christ, that no matter what, she was always like those blind men who would hear Christ's footsteps, who would hear Christ calling, Christ whispering. Eventually, she would see what revolutionary fervor looks like when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, and she was disgusted. She attended a speech by Leon Trotsky, and she was horrified about what she began to believe, and quickly began reorienting herself back to Christ. She fled Georgia and eventually came to France, where she struggled with She had a son, and she tragically lost her young daughter, Anastasia. Her marriage was falling apart, but she continued to hear that voice of Christ, to hear those footsteps of Christ. And in 1932, she was given the blessing to eventually become tonsured as a monastic, taking the name of Maria. And very quickly, she began to get to work. Within 1 year, she had, through funds from the bishop, had leased a house in Paris and turned it into a monastery. She turned one of her bedrooms into a chapel with help from several priests to build an iconostasis and even painted the icons herself. She then just opened the doors to anyone who was needy, who was poor, who was struggling, who was orphaned. Anybody who was struggling, her doors were open. Eventually, she was feeding and taking care of dozens and dozens of people every day, so much so that she would sleep on the hard basement floor so that others could take the warm beds in the warm rooms. Eventually, this ministry began to grow through the help of incredible donations all throughout the Orthodox world, even from America. And eventually, she and dozens of others of Orthodox clergy and laity would lease over half a dozen houses and turn them into hostels, orphanages. She would publish works of ascetic literature and liturgical books, feeding every day hundreds and hundreds of people. Eventually, the next 3 years, the German army came and occupied France and took over France. And eventually, as World War II began, they saw how popular and how holy Saint Maria was, and the German army wanted to use all of her network, all of her homes, for the war efforts, to begin distributing food toward soldiers. And whenever she was asked, Mother Maria was very politely told them, "No, thank you." As another year passed, several of her fellow the priests around her and those who were involved with her were arrested and sent through concentration camps all throughout Europe. And eventually, she was arrested in 1943. And she was arrested and spent 2 years in the Ravensbrück concentration camp, where eventually she accepted her martyrdom joyfully and prayerfully on Holy Saturday in 1945. Before she was arrested, she was urged by so many people to flee, to leave, that she was not safe. And she refused politely every single time. She would always tell people that she had great work to do, that she needed to expose everyone to the love of Christ. Before she was arrested, one of her friends was writing a letter to her, asking her, urging her to plead. And in her response, she wrote something that I just want to read really quickly. She wrote, "At the last judgment, I shall not be asked whether I was successful in my ascetic exercises, nor how many bows and prostrations I made. Instead, I shall be asked, did I feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners? That is all I shall be asked. About every poor, hungry, and imprisoned person, the Savior says, I was hungry and thirsty. I was sick and imprisoned. To think that Christ puts an equal sign between himself and anyone in need. I always knew it, but now it has somehow penetrated to my sinews. It fills me with awe. This is the love of Christ. This is the love the connection between love and the ascetic life. St. Maria is not contrasting the two. She's not saying either we do prostrations when we pass or we have love. She is reminding us that they must always be unified together, that everything in our lives must be rooted in love. Everyone who knew St. Maria knew she was a woman of great asceticism, of prayer, and of deep fasting. It's what sustained her for 2 years under horrid conditions in a concentration camp. But she reminds us today that everything in our life must be rooted in love. As Orthodox Christians, everything must be rooted in love. Every prayer, every prostration, every liturgy must be rooted in love. If it is not rooted in love, if it is not a sacrifice to God, then we are as blind as the Pharisees who encounter Christ today and do not see the God-man, but instead see a demon. This love of Christ, which he lived as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, passed down to the apostles, passed down to every generation afterwards, for 2,000 years and bequeathed, given as a gift to us here today. We are reminded that the church, that Orthodoxy, is this school of love. It is not a place where we have our biases confirmed. It's not a place where we have our politics confirmed. It's not even a place where we are called to be good people. It is a place where Christ and his church, through the medicine of the spiritual and the ascetic life, calls us to be holy. It is a place where we learn to love and be loved. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.